on this year. So the question we asked last Sunday was, so what? If God is coming, therefore, this is our new theme this year, where we're going to refocus. Everything we think, everything that we do, we're going to do in the light of the fact that he's coming back. Now, with that said, I believe one of the most colorful and the most unpredictable characters in the Bible is the Apostle Peter. So I'm going to look at Peter this morning, kind of a part one, kind of like before the church began, Peter. And I'm going to title the message, Peter and His Refocused Life. Somebody said, true, Peter had his faults, for he was intensely human, but failures and triumphs were but stepping stones by which he reached higher heights. This is why the fascinating story of Peter is so encouraging for others who seek to climb the upward way from their dead selves to higher, better things. Years ago, I did a presentation on the apostles, and Peter had three different Sunday morning presentations, and I'm going to give you just a quick summary of the life of Peter. We can look at Peter before the cross, after the cross, just like you and I. We can look at Peter before the birth of the church, which we'll do this morning. And the next time we look at Peter will be after the birth of the church. We can look at his mistakes and his victories. We can look at what he learned and how he learned. We can look at who he led and how he led. Peter is one of the 12 apostles, and Peter is one of the inner three apostles. We can look at Peter as the first apostle. We can look at Peter as the last apostle. We can look at Peter in the shadows, and we can look at Peter in the sunlight. We can look at Peter's impetuous speaking, and we can look at Peter's impressive sermons. We can look at Peter as an apostle, and we can look at Peter as an author. Let me pause right there to say that I'm beginning a new series. It began last Wednesday night. Were you here? No. The weather tricked us. They said, weather, winter, advisory. So I copied it and sent it to the entire church. What was it doing at 9 o'clock last Wednesday night? Nothing. Nothing. I was so mad. So I figured I'd be right on top of this 5 o'clock in the morning to shut it all down. It's going to be terrible. Terrible. Yeah. Sometimes you can trust the weather, and sometimes the weather changes. So I said all that to say, on Wednesday nights, we're going to be looking at Peter as the author. And he authored two amazing epistles with his name on them. Not as an afterthought, not as a postscript, not as a PS. And I thought, here's a guy, and we'll talk about that this morning, who spent more time with the Lord. And quite frankly, the Lord had to spend more time with Peter than with any other apostle. We would call Peter high maintenance. Do you know people that are high maintenance? Peter's one of them. Anyway, I don't want to preach my sermon in the introduction, but Peter is the epitome of refocusing. And if Peter can admit, which he does in his epistles, to refocus, I think studying those two epistles this year on Wednesday nights will be a real foundational, it will be a real pathway for us to look at what did God teach Peter, and what does Peter want to teach the church in the end times? Alexander White wrote this. I'm just going to read a paragraph. The four Gospels are full of Peter. After the name of our Lord himself, no name comes up as often as Peter's name. No disciple speaks so often and so much as Peter. Our Lord speaks oftener to Peter than to any of his disciples, sometimes in praise and sometimes in blame. No disciple is so pointedly reproved by our Lord as Peter, and no disciple ever ventures to reprove his master but Peter. No other disciple ever so boldly confessed and outspokenly acknowledged and encouraged our Lord as Peter repeatedly did. And no one ever intruded or interfered or tempted the Lord as repeatedly as Peter did. Peter's master spoke words of approval and praise, even blessing to Peter, the like of which he never spake to any other man. And at the same time, and almost in the same breath, he said, Jesus said harder things to Peter than he ever said to any of his 12 disciples, unless it was Judas. So as I said, the title of my message is Peter and His Refocused Life. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we come before you this morning to thank you and praise you. And again, I ask for wisdom and guidance and direction, and that your Spirit of God would be here among us to enlighten us, to instruct us, to direct us and guide us. Lord, as one of the most flamboyant and charismatic characters in all the Bible, there's so many things that we can learn about ourselves. Help us this day, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I would like to paint a picture of the Apostle Paul, Peter, this morning that is more than just chronological events or historical places or maybe the established material on the life of Christ. And I think it would be fair to say that no man on earth spent more time with the Lord Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry than the Apostle Peter. I also think it would be fair to say that during his earthly ministry, Jesus invested more in this one man than in any other man. Would you agree with that? I mean, think about that. Is there any other man that Jesus spent more time with and invested more into than Peter? I can't think of one. Unless it's you or me. Because all of us have a little bit of Peter, don't we? I don't hear anything out there this morning. Yeah. Or is this already too convicting? Pastor, I really wish you didn't talk on Peter, because this is really me looking in the mirror. If that is true, then why was it that Peter faltered and failed before the crucifixion? How could it be that the number one disciple essentially wrote himself out of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ when the church was about to be born? If a person stopped reading his or her Bible at the death of Christ, then they would not know, as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story. So I would like to present the Apostle Peter as one of the most talked about and written about apostles, and how it was that he had to refocus his spiritual life. Now, I put together a smattering of words that I think would be descriptive of the Apostle Peter. So hang on with me as I read through some of these. This is not an inclusive list. I didn't get it anywhere just by reading and studying the Apostle Peter. And it's all in alphabetical order. He was apologetic because he said he was sorry. He was also an apostle. We would agree that he was arrogant, but he was also ashamed. He was believable, he was benevolent, he was boastful and bold. Brave, businesslike, called out. At times he was cold, other times he was compassionate. Other times he was a compromiser, a denier, but for sure he was a disciple. He was embarrassed, he was evangelistic. He was faithful, but fallen, fearless, and he had fervor like fire. He was flamboyant, generous, guilty, headstrong. He was a healer. He was a hero. He was hopeful. And he was hot. He was human. At times he was humble. Many times he was ignorant. Often he was impertinent. He was impetuous. At some times he was indifferent, legalistic, lovable. He was a martyr. He was a minister, a missionary. He was outgoing. He was passionate. Rarely was he patient. He was a patriot. He was persuasive. At times he was petrified. Powerful, prayerful. He was a preacher, but he was prideful. He was also a prisoner. He could be accused of being a racist. He was rebuked. He was regretful. He was remorseful. He was respected. He was saved from drowning. He was scared and self-reliant. He became a shepherd. Obviously, he was sinful, skeptical. He became a swearer. At times, he was unconquerable. At other times, he was untrustworthy. But yet, he was a visionary. He was vulnerable. And God thought he was worthy. So what about Peter? I'm going to go through a few things that I think will be helpful for us. Again, this is out of the box. Okay, this is not something that I got online, something I read in a commentary. It's right out of here. And as I was thinking about this, I said this the other day. There's a great Hallmark movie out there called What the Deaf Man Heard. If you've never heard it, go order it online. It's a DVD. It's awesome. What the Deaf Man Heard. It's fun. It's good. It's Hallmark, so it's wholesome. At least it used to be. I'm going to tell you what Peter heard. He heard Jesus say, I will make you fishers of men. Peter heard, could we say the greatest preacher in history? Have you ever heard the greatest preacher in history? Peter heard Jesus call a young girl back to life in the presence of her mom and dad. Peter heard the greatest messages, not only the greatest preacher, he heard the greatest messages ever preached in history. Peter heard the cries of bereaved mothers and fathers. Peter heard the greatest truths in all of history. Peter heard desperate people cry out for healing. Peter heard the greatest arguments put forth in all of history. Peter heard Jesus say, cast the net on the other side. Peter heard the greatest questions in history. Peter heard Jesus tell a father that his deceased son was alive again just by his word. Peter heard the greatest answers in history. Peter heard the Lord say, come in the midst of a storm on the sea. Peter heard Jesus instruct the disciples to feed the multitude with 5 fish and 2 loaves of bread. Peter heard Jesus say that he would rebuild the temple in 3 days. Peter heard God the Father speak from a cloud of glory. Peter heard Jesus call Lazarus from the grave after 4 days. Peter heard crowds worshiping the coming Messiah on Palm Sunday. Peter heard Jesus say that he would be tried, condemned, crucified, buried, and rise again the 3rd day. Peter heard crowds clamoring for the crucifixion of Jesus before Pilate. Peter heard a rooster crow that sealed his guilt of denial. Peter heard the women say that they had seen the risen Christ. That's just a small little example. What did Peter see? Not only what did Peter hear, but what did Peter see? Peter saw Jesus turn water into wine. Have you ever seen that? Peter saw Jesus cure the nobleman's son at Capernaum. Peter saw Jesus cast out an unclean spirit from a man in Capernaum. Jesus, Peter saw Jesus cure his mother-in-law of a fever. Peter saw Jesus heal many sick and oppressed. Peter saw Jesus predict the great haul of fishes. Peter saw Jesus heal a leper. Peter saw Jesus heal the centurion's servant. Peter saw Jesus heal a paralytic man who was let down through a roof. Peter saw Jesus heal a man's withered hand on the Sabbath. Peter saw Jesus raise the widow's son from the dead. Peter saw Jesus still the storm on the Sea of Galilee. Peter saw Jesus cure two demoniacs and cast demons into a herd of pigs. Peter saw Jesus cure a woman with an issue of blood. Peter saw Jesus raise Jairus' daughter from the dead. Peter saw Jesus open the eyes of two blind men. Peter saw Jesus loosen the tongue of a man who could not speak. Peter saw Jesus heal an invalid man at the pool of Bethesda. Peter saw Jesus feed at least 5,000 people. Peter saw Jesus walk on the water. Peter saw Jesus heal many sick as they touched his garment. Peter saw Jesus heal the Syrophoenician woman's demon-possessed daughter. Peter saw Jesus heal a deaf and dumb man. Peter saw Jesus feed over 4,000. Peter saw Jesus heal a blind man at Bethsaida. Peter saw Jesus open the eyes of a man born blind. Peter saw Jesus cure a boy who had plagued by a demon. Peter saw Jesus provide for a temple tax by finding a coin in the mouth of a fish. Peter saw Jesus cure a blind, mute, demon-possessed man. Peter saw Jesus cure a woman who had been afflicted for 18 years. Peter saw Jesus heal a man of dropsy on the Sabbath. Jesus saw Peter cleanse 10 lepers on the way to Jerusalem. Peter saw Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead in Bethany. Peter saw Jesus restore sight to Bartimaeus at Jericho. Peter saw Jesus curse the fig tree and it withered on the road from Bethany. Peter saw Jesus restore the ear of the high priest's servant. Peter saw the risen Christ. Peter saw Jesus walk through walls. Peter saw Jesus provide a breakfast for the disciples on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Peter saw Jesus arise from the Mount of Olives into a cloud. Peter heard some things. Peter saw some things. Peter learned some things. Peter learned the parable of the lamp under a bushel. Peter learned the parable of the wise and foolish builders. Peter learned the parable of the new cloth on an old coat. Peter learned the parable of the new wine in old wineskins. Peter learned the parable of the sower and the seed. Peter learned the parable of the money lender forgiving unequal debts. Peter learned the parable of the rich fool building a bigger barn. Peter learned the parable of the servants that must remain watchful. Peter learned the parable of the wise and foolish servants. Peter learned the parable of the unfruitful fig tree. Peter learned the parable of the soils. Peter learned the parable of the weeds among the good plants. Peter learned the parable of the growing seed, the mustard seed. Peter learned the parable of leaven. He learned the parable of the valuable pearl. Peter learned the parable of the fishing net. He learned the parable of the owner of a house. Peter learned the parable of the master and his servant. Peter learned the parable of the unmerciful servant. Peter learned the parable of the good Samaritan. Peter learned the parable of a friend in need. Peter learned the parable of the lowest seat at the feast. Peter learned the parable of the invitation to a great banquet. Peter learned the parable of the cost of discipleship. Peter learned the parable of the lost sheep. He learned the parable of the lost coin. He learned the parable of the prodigal son. He learned the parable of the shrewd manager. He learned the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. He learned the parable of the early and the late workers in the vineyard. He learned the parable of the persistent widow and the crooked judge. He learned the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. He learned the parable of the king's 10 servants given pounds to invest. He learned the parable of two sons, one obeyed and one didn't. Peter learned the parable of the wicked tenants. He learned the parable of the invitation to a wedding banquet. He learned the parable of the fig tree and the signs of the times. Peter learned the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. He learned the parable of the sheep and the goats. Say, Pastor, why are you saying all that? Because there are some people that have been in church their whole life. I didn't have that privilege. As I've said many times, I was a professional sinner till I was 28. So I began my Christian life then. You began your Christian life at the age in which you became a believer, saved. So everybody has their own background. But I think it's clear to see that Peter wasn't following Jesus his whole life. Peter was called by God to be a follower with his brother Andrew. Their partners in crime, I mean their partners in business, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. So as we read the Gospels, not only is Christ Jesus the center of the Gospels, but please do not ignore the people of the Gospels, because those people represent real people that really were, just like Christ really was. Historically, there's no doubt that he lived. So we have his impact on the lives of followers and non-followers, believers, non-believers, of Jews, Gentiles, of politicians and religious leaders. And the Gospels are a kaleidoscope of stories, of narratives, of various principles that we can use in our daily life and say, I wonder what I should do in this situation. Now, you can wonder all you want. You can go to Ann Landers. That's what they used to do. Or you can say, I wonder if there's a Bible principle or a Bible character, if there's a Bible story that is similar to what I am experiencing now. That's not a bad place to go, instead of you using your own wisdom or your own insight. I'm saying all that because I'm about 3/4 done with my sermon, and it's only 15 minutes into it, which is rare for me. But what I'm saying here, Peter, like most believers, are exposed to a wealth of information. But the Bible says, be ye doers of the word, and not just hearers only. James says that. So, the light that you have is the light that God expects you to act upon. In other words, God will not give you more light unless you act upon the light you have. So every time you come to church and say no, you get no more light. Now, as Rodney Myers was up here preaching to her, now remember, I love you. And I do. But have you ever felt dry in a desert as a Christian? You go to church, you read your Bible, there's nothing. Well, there's a problem there. The problem's not with the Word. The problem's not with God. The problem's not with the church. The problem's with you. If you obey the light that you're given, the Bible says to obey is better than sacrifice. So God expects obedience. then he will give you more light. But if you do not obey the light that you have, essentially you're going to be put on a shelf. Come to church all you want, read the Bible all you want, pray all you want, fellowship all you want, but you're stuck. You're in pause mode spiritually. You're pause. How do you get out of pause? Two ways. Obey the light that you have and confess, say, Lord, I have no idea what's going on in my Christian life, but I know there's a problem. And I know I'm the problem. I know you're not the problem. Can you please show me where I am or what my problem is? Now, if you pray that prayer to God, Lord, would you show me what my problem is? He will. Right? He'll answer that prayer. He can answer that prayer through circumstances. He could answer that prayer through others. He can answer that prayer through his word. And he often does. So what was Peter's problem? Was it a lack of information? No. Was Peter's problem his temperament? Was he sanguine? Was he melancholy? We all have temperaments. But Peter was Peter. So why in the world would God pick this individual with 75 characteristics of names? Why would God pick somebody so, I don't want to say unreliable, and I don't want to say someone who's unpredictable, but he was. But Peter was a natural leader, wasn't he? So God's plan was to take not an average fisherman, but kind of an out-of-the-box kind of a guy and say, you know what I see in you? This is what I see in you. Not that that's what you have now, but this is what you could be if you follow the light that I give you. And if you obey, and if you follow me, I will make you not only a fishers of men, but I will make you Peter. So instead of you being sand, I'm going to make you a stone. Let's continue with Peter's incredible resume. Not only did he see, and not only did he hear, not only did he learn, what did Peter experience? And again, this is just the tip of the iceberg. This is just a little bit of cherries on top of here. Peter experienced the fellowship of Jesus Christ when his name was changed from Simon to Peter. Peter experienced the humiliation of watching Jesus predict a record catch of fish. When Peter said, Lord, we've toiled all the night. Surely there's nothing here. But at thy word, I will let down the net. Peter experienced the joy of Jesus Christ healing his mother-in-law in his own home. Peter experienced the fear as well as the exhilaration of the storm out on the sea as he walked on the water to Jesus. Peter experienced the dependency of Christ when he said, thou hast the words of eternal life. To whom shall we go? Didn't Peter say that? You could do an entire life study of Peter just looking at the things that he said. Peter experienced the shock of retrieving a coin from a fish's mouth to pay taxes just like Jesus said would happen. Could you imagine a fisherman picking up a fish and inside the mouth was enough tax money for you to pay for you and your master? Crazy. Say what? Yeah, must be a fisherman. Go talk to Big Dave. You guys can fish all you want. Peter experienced the embarrassment when Christ confronted him. Jesus said, who touched me? If you remember the story, Jesus is surrounded by a multitude of people. And Jesus says to his disciples, who touched me? And Peter looks at Jesus and says something stupid, right? As we can always predict Peter say, What do you mean, Lord, who touched you? You're thronged by people. What do you mean, who touched me? If you remember the story, he said, virtue has gone out of me, which means somebody touched me by faith for healing. And I sense it. Of course, Jesus knew who it was. He just wanted that woman who had spent all of her money, had been sick of this bleeding issue for years and years. If I can but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. And she was immediately. And Jesus wanted her to confess that in front of the crowd. Peter was there watching it and rebuking the Lord. Have you ever rebuked the Lord? Sure. Peter's welcome company, isn't he? Peter experienced the refocusing of the religious leaders when Jesus rebuked them by saying, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? So Peter had a chance to watch Jesus kind of verbally confront his religious detractors. Peter experienced the rebuke of Christ when he said, Jesus said to Peter, are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand? Could you imagine your teacher telling you that? Peter experienced the sharpest rebuke ever given by Christ to any of his disciples when he said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan! Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those things that be of men. Do you remember what he said a minute before? This is Peter who said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to Peter, my Father in heaven revealed this to thee. And then Jesus said, I must go to the cross. And then Peter said, forbid it, Lord. Thou shalt not happen to thee. And this was Jesus' Can you see the up and down and the sideways and the incredible relationship that he had with him? Does that sound familiar? Is there anybody here that can relate to this, Peter? It's a roller coaster ride. Peter experienced the confusion on the Mount of Transfiguration when he proposed that they make three tabernacles, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for Christ. You remember the end of that story, right? Who stopped that conversation? God the Father spoke out of heaven from a cloud and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God the Father spoke out of a cloud to shut up Peter. When was the last time God the Father spoke out of heaven to shut you up or me? Isn't that incredible? This is so unbelievable that God would take so much care for one person. Peter experienced the teaching ministry of the Lord when he asked Jesus, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. So Peter thought he could get off by forgiving somebody seven times. Jesus essentially said, 77 times is a way of saying, until you die, you're going to forgive that person. Peter experienced the reminder of the Lord that all who follow him should prepare for the coming of the Lord. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. I don't know if Peter ever thought he was on his game. I mean, he thought he was on his game many times. But every time he thought he was on his game, what happened? It was just predictable, wasn't it? It was predictable. Peter experienced the answer to his question about the compensation. I mean, what's my compensation package, Lord? What are you going to pay me for following you? He said, behold, we have forsaken all and follow thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me, in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands. I'm waiting for Edie to catch her breath. You're welcome. For my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Peter experienced failure of leadership at the Last Supper when he failed by example to wash the Lord's feet and the feet of the other disciples. And we could go on. Peter's experiences in the there are just too many examples. So the question is, he heard, he saw, he learned, he experienced. Now one of my favorite topics. What did he say? I'm just going to give you a half a dozen. I lied. I'm going to give you about 12 or 15. Peter said, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. Peter said, Lord, if it bid thee, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Peter said, Lord, save me. Peter said, how oft shall thy brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till 7 times. Peter said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Peter said, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? Peter said, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. Of course, which is a lie. Peter said, thou shalt never wash my feet. Remember, he said that to Jesus. Peter said, I know not the man. Peter said, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Peter said, Lord, why canst I not follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Peter said, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Peter said, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Peter said, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. The real question this morning is this. With all of Peter's exposure, no, with all of your exposure to the Lord Jesus Christ and the church and Bible teaching, with all of the teaching that Peter experienced, with all of the teaching that you've experienced, with all the spiritual lessons of life that Peter was exposed to, why or how could he have fallen from grace? How is that possible? What was the cause of Peter's denial of Christ? In other words, what went wrong? We come, we sit, we soak. What could possibly go wrong? Everything. Everything. But how's that possible? be ye doers of the word and not just hearers only. We have come to this place. It's 2022. You could not have told me 22 years ago that the church would still be here. We used to have parties, rapture parties. Nobody believed that the year 2000 would come with Christians still on the earth. Back in the day, they would preach about the rapture. They would preach about the end times, the hellfire and brimstone. And everybody would have a big revival and everybody would dance in the aisles. And that's what we believed. And that's what we were taught. And that's what we thought. And guess what? Y2K didn't happen. And we're still here. Remember Y2K? Remember that New Year's Eve evening? And everything in China was still okay. And everything in Japan was still okay. And they watched globally how the lights were still on. And everybody's doom and gloom of Y2K didn't come to pass. And here we are, 22 years later. Which means he's 22 years closer to coming back. 22 years more technology, right? 22 years more cryptocurrency, 22 years more global everything. We are 22 years closer to the God coming back. So there's nothing that would prevent that from happening. Everything in the Bible is already taken care of. Israel's back in the land. We have enough digital technology to take care of the mark of the beast. It's all ready. It's all ready to go. All we need to do is listen for the trumpet and we're gone. We're out of here. But the problem is we're still here. And with all of the teaching, with all the lessons, with all of the exposure, with all the Bible conferences, all the preaching, all the missions conferences, why are there more people lost today than there were during the day of Christ? So therefore, I think as your pastor, and for me personally, I think it's time to refocus. These are the same questions that Christians have been asking about Peter, but they have failed to ask about themselves. First, it must be remembered that the 12 apostles were not saved in exactly the same way that the New Testament believers are saved. The apostles could not be saved until the blood of Christ was shed for them. Right? So until Calvary, until the gospel was completed, the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Christ, they couldn't be saved. They couldn't be redeemed. They followed the Lord. They listened to his sermons. They observed his miraculous ways of ministry. Yet, they were still not born again. Right? They observed. They followed. They gave Jesus their heart. But the redemptive price hadn't been paid yet. So the gospel of Jesus Christ was preached, but the application of the gospel was not possible until the actual conviction, beating, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ had actually taken place. That was the purpose why he came. Yes, he became sin for us who knew no sin, that he might become the righteousness of God, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. In other words, the price for man's sin had not yet been paid. The apostles and all those that followed the Lord Jesus Christ were exposed to the ministry of the Son of God. That's true. His death and his shed blood will make the way for the ministry of the Spirit of God to now take over. When a Gentile gets saved now, on the other side of the cross, the moment that we are redeemed, the Spirit of God takes up residence in our heart. But that didn't happen then because Christ hadn't died yet. Is everybody with me? Okay, so Peter heard more than he could ever imagine, more than he could comprehend. He experienced, he watched, he saw, he learned. What did it all mean? It didn't all come together yet, did it? It didn't all come together yet. But when he saw the risen Christ, it was like, you got to be kidding me. Turn with me to Luke chapter 24. I think there's a phrase in Luke chapter 24 that is worthy of note. It's not in my notes. I'm just thinking about this off the top of my head. As Jesus, the day that he rose from the dead, he appeared to the women. If you remember, Peter and John ran to the tomb to see the empty tomb. And the Bible says that he appeared to the disciples in the upper room. Who was the disciple that was not there, Claire? Thomas. So Thomas missed the first Sunday night service, and he wasn't there. But Jesus meets these two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And in verse 27, beginning at Moses and all the apostles, all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they, these two disciples, constrained him, saying, abide with us. They didn't know who he was. He hid from them who he was, for it was toward evening, and the day was far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were what? Now, until your eyes are open, you are blind. I was blind for 28 years. And God allowed the circumstances of my life and your life before you got saved to bring you to him. So that you didn't think it was you. You knew it was him. Because only he could take you out of where you were. Their eyes were open. And they knew him. And he vanished away. Could you imagine how angry they were? They'd been walking with this guy, talking with this guy. Well, what happened in Jerusalem? Tell me all about it. So they told him the story about what happened on crucifixion day and resurrection day. And it was Jesus. And it was... And he was sharing with them the entire Old Testament, how that prophecy was fulfilled. Verse 32, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us? That's a biblical definition of conviction. When your heart burns with the truth of God's word, didn't our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed. Period. Does your Bible say that? No, there's a comma. What's the next four words? Five words. And hath appeared to whom? Get out of town. God made a special appearance to the renegade, high maintenance, impetuous, impulsive, lunatic Peter. I can't predict him. He is absolutely out of control. He's out of the box. I have no idea what he's going to say. I have no idea what he's going to do. Of course, I'm God, so I know all that stuff. But we know because we're his followers, we're his disciples, we're his friends, we're his business partners. But Jesus made a special visit on that day, on that resurrection day, to meet whom? Peter. And he met you. He met me when I needed him. Didn't he meet you? He met you that day. So whatever that day was, for me it was November 11th, 1983. He met you someday. He met you as you were, religious, non-religious, but you were definitely lost without him. And without him, there's no hope. In him is hope. In him is life. In him is peace. In him is joy. In him is life forevermore. Do you have him? Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Somebody else? Somebody else? Somebody else? Somebody else? Somebody else? Somebody else? Never forget that day, Jeff. Somebody else? Isn't that good to know? It's good to know your spiritual birthday. Lord, we come before you asking like Peter, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Multitudes of disciples had left Jesus. They had fled from him. Jesus' goal was not to draw the multitudes. Jesus' goal was to draw the sinner to himself. There are those here today that have accepted that gift, that offer of forgiveness of sins through his shed blood and through his death, burial, and resurrection. If you're here today and haven't received or accepted that gift, it's on you. It's not on him. He's already paid the price for you. You've made the decision not to accept it. So you can receive or not. People have given their spiritual birthdays, the days that they've received that gift. And that's the day their life was changed. The Holy Spirit of God indwelt them. And like the Apostle Peter and the rest of the disciples on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit visited them. And they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They received new life, eternal life, the indwelling life of the Spirit of God. So Lord, as we look to refocus this year, perhaps until you come back, help us to look at our lives differently. Help us to recalibrate so that we can maneuver and navigate our way. Until you come, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a